Yes, dear. Yeah. That's even in a wiser way, Alan. Yes. That's true surrender, Alan. You got it right there. We can become, as we age and become more vulnerable, we can return to that place of self-centeredness because we're afraid we're not going to get our needs met. I think as human beings, some people really like the refrain from Frank Sinatra's song, and I'm always surprised at how often it is requested at a memorial service with the refrain, "I did it my way." You know the song. And yet the spiritual path includes the stage of learning to surrender to the will of God, to focus on the will of God and not our own will. Every week, you and I pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Right now in the world, we are seeing an explosion of competing wills, competing for dominance. The will of the right versus the will of the left. The will of the haves versus the will of the have-nots. The will of white supremacy versus the will of non-whites. Each side believing their way is the right way. And yet our prayer that we pray each week calls for the will of God to prevail. The kingdom of God to come, not the kingdom of this human world. The ways of God to be lived, not the ways of human self-centeredness. So what are the ways of the kingdom of God? What is it that we keep praying for every week? According to Jesus, who talked endlessly about the kingdom of God? In fact, that's what he went around preaching, was the kingdom of God. That was every sermon, same sermon, about the kingdom of God. And he characterized it through different parables and through different stories, through different riddles. And when we research those, when we study those, the kingdom of God is characterized by compassion rather than judgment, by healing rather than suffering, by including rather than excluding, by peace rather than by violence. The kingdom of God is characterized by forgiveness rather than vengeance. It's characterized by love rather than fear. It's characterized by gentleness rather than cruelty. It's characterized by everyone being fed rather than anyone going hungry. It's characterized by everyone being included in the feast and no one being left out except those who choose to be. And Jesus tells us not to give up hope just because we cannot see this kingdom of God in all its fullness moving in the world, because he says it is among us, it's within you, and that it begins as something very, very small, like a little bit of yeast. But then it raises the whole loaf and feeds an entire family. Or the kingdom of God begins as a very tiny mustard seed, almost invisible to the eye. But then it grows and it grows and it grows so great that it becomes a huge tree that others can find a place to call home within it. Every week, you and I and other faith communities in Parksville, Qualicum, and around the world pray the Lord's Prayer, and we pray that God's kingdom will come, that God's will, not ours, will be done. Recently, our new mayor and council ordered Mana Homeless Society to cease and desist, helping the less fortunate on the city's Jensen Avenue West property. So we are told, others showed up to take Manna's place on Saturday morning. Individuals and church groups from Knox, from the Ascension Roman Catholic, from the Baptist Church and others, along with former city council members, began setting up at about 9 a.m., approximately when the Manna van used to arrive, in order to provide food, clothing, and healthcare items to feed the less fortunate in our community. The kingdom of God showed up on Saturday, even when it was told not to. Your kingdom come, your will be done, we prayed. It isn't always easy to pray this prayer. It isn't always easy to learn to surrender to the will of God and not our own will. And yet, we learn that when we do that, when we learn to let go and let God, incredible things can happen, because God's love for all of us is far greater than our love for ourselves or for one another. So whenever we don't get our own way, that may not be such a bad thing, because we can't always see the bigger picture, and we don't always know the larger forces at work in the world that are like little pieces of yeast or tiny little mustard seeds that are growing somewhere unexpectedly and creating a home. So today, in the praying of this prayer, we are invited to trust God for the greater good of all. Last week, I received a phone call from a woman named Jada Morgan. And she emailed me. Actually, it was an email. And she said, I've just come back from Lebanon. Can I come and tell you my story? And I wrote back and said, okay, come to the church. So I met with Jada, and she shared her story with me, and I thought, wow, God is always way ahead, because her story was all about surrendering to the will of God. Her story was all about praying that the kingdom of God would come. So I asked her if she would come and share her story with us today. So Jada, please come forward and share your story of surrender.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm feeling a lot of gratitude today for this opportunity to speak to you. In the summertime, I had an experience that was just overwhelming. And so much so that I found myself on a plane to Beirut, Lebanon. And my family and friends were just like, where did she go? All of a sudden, I was gone. And I was searching for the children of Lebanon. I knew that there was a group of children that needed help and that I had to go find them. And so this is my story, and this is what happened. Last spring, my little dog Annie was diagnosed with cancer. She had a massive tumor taking up her entire stomach area. It weighed about 3 pounds, and Annie could not walk up and down the stairs anymore, and she was losing her ability to go to the bathroom. The veterinarian suggested that Annie probably only had a few more weeks to live. Annie has been my dog for 11 years, and she and I have been through a lot. She has seen me through the death of my parents and grandparents, the end of a marriage, single parenting. I began to pray for Annie. I asked God to show me which feelings and thoughts were making Annie sick. And as those thoughts and feelings came to the forefront of my mind, I set them into God's light. I asked him to replace the thoughts and feelings with his definition of what was needed. I asked him to send the cancer into his light. And as I watched through my mind's eye, I saw her body and the cancer coming off of her like sand going up. After about 3 weeks of doing this, Annie's stomach got visibly smaller, and she started bouncing up and down the stairs. One day, I went to pray for her, and a voice inside me said, "Jada, it's enough." But I prayed again, and this time, I saw it coming out of me. I had a feeling that Annie and I had been sharing all those thoughts and feelings, and that I, too, had been getting sick. A couple weeks later, after Annie's cancer was gone, I was sitting at a table discussing with my children what we would do if we won the lottery. I was thinking of buying a ticket the next time I went to the grocery store. I went upstairs to sit in meditation on God, and I heard a voice within me say, "You will give the money to the orphans of Lebanon." I thought to myself, "Where's Lebanon?" I went to my computer and I looked it up. Of course, it was next to Syria. It made sense. So I did some reading about the orphans of Lebanon. For the next 2 days, I fought with myself. Would I keep any of the money? I sat in meditation. I asked God, "Can I pay the balance of my credit card off?" The voice clearly said, "All of it." So I was defeated. I went to my husband, and I explained to him that I was going to buy a lottery ticket and that we couldn't keep a cent of it if we won. My husband made it easy for me, and he said, "That's all right, honey. I know that isn't my path anyways. I'm supposed to earn my way in this life." So I bought a ticket, and I didn't win. But the reason this part of the story is important is because of what happened next. The healing of Annie had given me a much deeper faith and connection to God than I had ever felt before. I had become very aware of his constant presence and love in a very profound way. And I had just submitted my will to him and agreed to obey his commands and put his will ahead of my will and my desires. So a few days later, I woke up in the morning to a beautiful light at the back of my head. There was a woman, and there was music in her voice, and it filled me with such love that I cannot describe it. She went down on her knees, and it was like, this sound coming from behind her voice. And she said, "Go to the children of Lebanon." My heart is bursting to tell of this. It was the most sacred moment of my life. Let no man defile this. I began to cry, and I called my husband on the phone. He was already at work, and I told him that the Holy Mother had come to me and that I had to go to Lebanon. So my husband, he's not a religious man. I was not raised in the church. I was not raised with any religion. But over the years, I had my own personal experiences that led me to a relationship with Christ. My chosen path has been that of meditation on him and constantly singing and chanting the name of God. My husband was supportive, but he was also confused and incredulous. 2 weeks later, I was in Beirut, pounding the pavement, looking for the children of Lebanon. I spent 2 weeks at a hostel in central downtown area. In the beginning, I thought that perhaps I was supposed to go to an orphanage, so I made arrangements to go to a Christian orphanage just outside Beirut. But the night before I was to be picked up, I had a dream that soldiers were blocking the road and making me turn back. I awoke to a voice saying, "The children of Lebanon are in Beirut." So I started looking at an orphanage in Beirut. But again, I dreamed that soldiers were there and I fell. I noticed that during conversations with people, every now and then I would get powerful shivers from my feet to the top of my head in conversations where people were suggesting that I go somewhere. So I decided to listen to the shivers. My conversations with people at the hostel led me to Shatila Refugee Camp. So I offered my services there at the kindergarten they were about to open. But I had a terrible first night there, and I knew that I couldn't stay. I'd been looking on the internet at apartments, and there was an apartment 3.5 kilometers from the camp that had caught my eye. I had some cards with me that I was using to help me make decisions when I didn't know what to do, so I drew a card, and the card said, "Go now." So I went. When I arrived at the apartment, I had shivers go all the way through my body, so powerful, and deja vu. I felt certain that I had been there before, In fact, for the next few days, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had done everything before. I felt and still feel that this was God's way of letting me know that I was in the right place and that something very significant was happening. I moved in that evening, and the next morning I went outside. I was greeted by a little girl around the age of 8 and her little brothers, 2 little brothers. Within minutes, they had me teaching them numbers. I went up to my apartment and came back with pens and notebooks, and the children were very eager to learn. The next day, I bought a skipping rope and brought it out to an open area beside the building where there was a little complex of apartments. After about 20 minutes, there were 12 children outside learning to skip, and some of the parents were joining in. The day after, I went and bought a giant ball, and all the kids lined up in the concrete area in front of the houses between the buildings to take turns throwing it to me and to play piggy in the middle. It also became a big deal to go out to go on an outing with me to the mall. I would take 8 children at a time with me to walk to the mall, to look through the toy stores and ride the escalators. Over the next weeks, children were constantly at my door. They were hungry to play and to learn. I put on a little class for them at night, and we practiced letters and sounds. We started with English, but then I realized that we needed to learn French as well. French is the language that children learn in school. The Lebanese government did not offer classes for Syrian children in September, so the children were falling even further behind in their studies. One little girl, Fatima, was having difficulties, so I began to do private tutoring sessions with her. This led to private sessions with many of the other children as well. I was very busy and decided that it was time to stop going to the Palestinian camp and focus all my attention on the kids at home. I had bought a bicycle to travel to the camp, and it was very dangerous navigating the traffic in Beirut, and my rheumatism was causing me pain. My 3rd month in Beirut was very hard on my husband and I. I missed my family terribly. My husband has a very demanding job. My 2 16-year-olds homeschool, and while they're quite independent, he was definitely feeling the strain. I was meditating one night, and I felt my little dog, Annie. I was sending her love, and suddenly she cried out in pain. It was so real that I started to cry. I called my husband and I asked if she was all right. Annie had jumped off the bed and hurt her back. I could hear her in the background crying out. I dreamed that night that Mother Mary came to me and told me to go to my children. I wasn't sure, though, because it was only a dream, and the message that had sent me to Beirut had been so vivid and clear. I felt that I could not go home unless I was told to do so. I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to tell you that I did end up getting my message, and it was very clear. The day before I left Lebanon, the police came by and wanted to know how many Syrians were living in that little complex. I could see in my friend's face her worry for her family and for their future. She said to me before I left, "Jada, we didn't want to put pressure on you, but if there's anything you can do for our family, please help us." We both held each other and cried. It was very hard to leave all my friends in that place with such an uncertain future. My friends were held hostage in their home in Syria for a week by armed militants. The mother was alone with the children at the time, and the father was away working in Lebanon. When the father returned, he found his family being held. Afterwards, they made it to Beirut. 2 years ago, the whole family was suffering from post-traumatic stress. They all suffered during thunder and lightning storms because of the sound of bombs and guns. To know them, you'd never guess what they've been through. The father's a very strong provider, and the mother nurtures her family with great love and strength. The children are all very well-behaved and very sweet. They have friends from Syria who they help daily with food and cleaning facilities, and they pray 5 times a day. They have an unshakable faith. There were others, too, a mother with 2 daughters who suffer from cystic fibrosis, other Syrian families who also lost everything, grandmothers and grandfathers. I made many friends. I did not go to Lebanon. I was sent to Lebanon. I feel absolutely certain that God put this desire to help my friends into my heart and that I must bring them to Canada. I became very close to 9 children from 2 separate families, and it breaks my heart if I think about leaving them there in that place. I cannot force myself to choose, But I know I also must trust in God's plan and accept that perhaps it really isn't my choice. One of the little girls in the other family is going to lose her eyesight in one eye if she does not get a $7,000 surgery. I've promised myself that I will try to help her. Who knows, maybe fundraising will take off and this will turn into a quest to save 9 children from 2 families. My story is about surrender, but it's also about the right to be. Those children are growing up in a world that is telling them that they don't belong anywhere. At home, their own people tried to kill them, and now, everywhere they go, nobody wants them. I want those little children to have a different experience. I want them to know that there is love in the world, that there are good people in the world, that God loves them, and that they have a seat at God's table, that they have a right to be. I pray for all my friends in Beirut every day, and I see God's light and love sweeping through that complex and through the hearts and minds of everyone there, blessing them. God bless the children of Lebanon. Thank you.
Jada shared with me that she is hoping that God will bring 4 other people to join her as the 5th person in becoming sponsors. So if you feel called today to join Jada, please let her know and talk with her after the service. Or you may know somebody else who has a heart for the children of Lebanon, for the people of Syria that are refugees in another country. And so we will continue to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, and miracles will happen. They always do when we surrender. May it be so.